That works.
Oh, there we go. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order. I kindly ask that our city clerk please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph Dantino.
Here.
Cody Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ray Pollock.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Rogelsberg.
Here.
Fantastic. We have a full house tonight. Mr. Dimitopoulos, sophomore, Obonsai Community College, would you kindly lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic over which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Michael. Welcome back, Alderman Brown.
Thank you.
How's your trip?
Well, I think my stomach's still somewhere over Kansas.
What is it?
At least it's Kansas.
Yeah, at least it's Kansas, not Geneva. That's
lunch in Shanghai, supper in Geneva, and bags in Bangkok, as they say, but no.
Oh, my goodness.
Fine.
Wow.
He came over and walked the dog.
Wow.
It was?
We have a special guest with us tonight. All of you should recognize Mrs. Carolyn Hill. Mrs. Hill is here tonight to give us an update, which is good news, regarding the most recent Dancing with the Geneva Stars, which was held just, three or so weeks ago. So without further ado, I'd like to present the better half of the Hill duo, Carolyn Hill.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to publicly thank the many people responsible for another successful Dancing with Geneva Stars benefit held February 6th. Special thanks to the City of Geneva and to the public for supporting this event in a big way. Your dollars contributed for the benefit of the Geneva Cultural Arts Commission and our partner, the Geneva Academics Foundation, resulted in a net profit of $18,263. Yeah. 25% of this net total goes to the Geneva Academic Foundation. If you were unable to attend the event or missed reading the announcement of the winner in the paper, Harry and Marcia Smith were declared the 2010 champion by generating the most vote dollars. All of our teams, Weldon Johnson and Joanne Buckley, David and Sean Ginsburg, Tim and Barb Moran, Matt and Kimberly Leonard, and Jim and Susan Vanderveen deserve a big thank you for their enthusiasm and dedication. They not only worked tirelessly perfecting their dance routine, but it was through their effort generating votes that resulted in such a profitable benefit. I want to thank our sponsors. 18 businesses and individuals contributed a total of $4,200, which helped defray the $7,000 cost to produce Dancing with Geneva Stars. We had an additional 32 individuals and businesses contribute pre-event and event in-kind services. And to our events MC, Mayor Burns, thank you for keeping the program flowing and entertaining. A big thank you to Linda Cunningham, our district artistic director of the State Street Dance Studio, for her professional expertise, and to Linda and her instructors for their vision and their ability to take 12 unskilled dancers and transform them into dancers who performed entertaining and flawless routines. Lastly, I want to thank my committee and the volunteers. This event could not have taken place without the endless hours contributed by everybody involved. Did you miss the event? And even if you attended the 2010 Dancing with the Stars, I invite you and the public to visit the Cultural Arts website and view the highlights from the evening. You may also place an order for a full-length event DVD. Our website is www.genevaarts.org, and that's with only one A between Geneva and Arts. Thank you all again for your support, and I'll see you at the 2011 Dancing with the Stars. Thank you.
Thank you. Carolyn, I believe there's a comment or two from the dais. I know Alderman Vogelsberg was upset she was not dancing this year.
That's so not true. I wanted to say thank you because it was a very fun event, and it seemed like the whole crowd was having fun, the dancers. Everyone there just seemed like it was so much fun, and to see that the funds you raised is wonderful. But really, a thank you to you and the team of volunteers, because it must be a lot of work behind the scenes to make that night go so seamlessly. So great work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
I noticed when you announced the total dollars raised, Alderman Flanagan went, whoa. This is the cost of proposals.
Now it's dancing for flowers.
Anyone else for Mrs. Hill? Congratulations, Carolyn.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Good stuff. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Any amendments tonight? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Marx. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marx?
Aye.
Tony Pollock?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
We jump down to item 9A. Consider approval of solicitation requests from Children's Benefit League, Misericordia, and the ALS Les Turner Foundation.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg, seconded by, we'll have to give this one to Mr. Hill so that Carolyn thinks he does something.
Super confused.
All three very deserving organizations, of course, and obviously they like to spend time in Geneva because we are, as Carolyn so stated, a very generous community. So, motion and a second. I would assume that a voice vote is sufficient. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Item 10, municipal bills for payment. I kindly ask the clerk to read the bills to be paid.
Bills for payment total $243,724.61.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read and as displayed on the city website.
Second.
The motion was offered by the man with the upset stomach, Alderman Brown, and seconded by Alderman Flanagan, to pay the bills as read and displayed on the city's website. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marx?
Aye.
Ray Pollock?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Item 12A, consider resolution number 2010-17 supporting the creation of the Northwest Water Planning Area Intergovernmental Agreement.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the motion and Mr. Maladra makes the second. Questions or comments regarding this document? Alderman Marks?
I just had a question for Mary. Is there going to be a cost associated with this? Because I see they're going to be doing advertising and education. Are they just going to have the cities kick in something each to make that happen?
It's going to be sponsored through Metro West Council of Government, and counties will be invited to.
Invited to participate in that.
Okay.
But our involvement, in addition to this show of support, would be through Metro West.
Okay, I didn't know if they were going to go through and assess, you know, something to make sure that the news got out there and that everybody understood what it is. Because from reading this, it's more of just an educational thing for the committee other than regulatory at this point.
Well, at this point, you're correct. But the purpose is to be proactive. You may recall that in the recent past, there's been some movement to look at managing water supplies through either regional governing bodies, counties, or other forums, other avenues, as opposed to the way it is now, municipalities. So this is in an effort to be proactive, get all of the council of governments together, as well as the counties, working in unison so that if and when legislation is needed, that we reach a consensus.
And we already have a tool in place.
Yes, and if there were expenditures, it would come through those and from those councils of government.
I just wondered how they were going to fund the advertising and news, so thank you.
Anyone else on item 12A? Mr. City Attorney, is a voice vote sufficient?
No, this requires a roll call vote.
The roll call vote is in order. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Rogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Rip Hollick?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Folks, we're at item 13, new business. Is there any new business from any member of the audience tonight? All three of you? Four of you? Zach, how's life?
Good.
Good? You and I need to talk after the meeting.
His life is good?
I said life. Anything else for anybody? How about from the dais? Alderman Polak, then Flanagan, then Brown.
Thanks, Mayor. Recently we've been hearing about unfunded mandates and the condition of pension funds, and I was able to review the publication from IML identifying the police and fire pension funds as of 2007. The question was posed to me regarding where are we at today, 2010, and I don't know where we are percentage-wise. But more importantly is, what are we doing in terms of our budget regarding the minimum, maximum, considering the economic condition we're in? And I simply said that, you know, we're in the middle of the budget process, and you and your staff are working hard at preparing it. That, of course, we'll have discussions, and if we need to increase the level of funding, we would. There is a minimum, there is a maximum, as mandated by statute. Is that correct? Mayor?
The actuarials that are done for fire and police pensions have recommendations in there that we can't possibly meet. We can meet about one-third of the funding through our levies. Even if we did nothing but levy for both police and fire pension, we probably wouldn't be able to levy enough if we didn't have any other operations. So we contribute as much as we can outside of those levies, and it depends a lot on their investments and how much they gain and how much they lose as far as the funding ratios go.
Okay, so there's not a set minimum by statute?
Well, we're supposed to fully fund them.
100%?
100%. We're supposed to do that. I don't know of any municipality that's able to do that. So we fund as much as we can. As you recall, we put a little extra into the police pension this year. We are about 70% funded ratio for the police pension, about 80% for the fire pension, and about 100% for IMRF.
Okay.
So that's where we're at, and we're funding as much as we can and trying to keep the doors open at the same time.
Right. And I understand the frustration at your level and certainly at our level. There just simply isn't enough money to go around. Yeah, we're going to be faced with retirements, but our community is not unique. Other communities face the same challenges, and this time of year when we're doing budgets, you know, we have to look at the big picture and figure out where we're going. So, but I did say that I would bring it up. And also, there was an article, I see you had sent us an email on Sunday's Tribune regarding another unfunded mandate from the state wanting to take perhaps half of our income tax funds away. The hit to us would be about $1 million, perhaps, if it went through?
Well, historically, we've had about $2 million in income tax receipts. So based on that, then yes, it would be about $1 million. This year, we're seeing about a 25% decrease in income tax, obviously, because of the job situation out there. Mm-hmm. So it would likely be between $700,000, $750,000 and $1 million hit to us. if they were to do to take that away from us. So, and our general fund is around $16 million, you know, so that would be a huge loss to us.
That's all. Thanks.
I have a question.
On that issue?
Yes.
Sure.
Very difficult.
Mary, what's happening to that Senate bill that we've been communicating to the Senator about, 2585 or something like that? Is that still in committee or...
Which one was that, Sandy?
Well, that was the one that they wanted to increase funding
health insurance.
For...
Sam, do you have your mic on? Just curious.
I thought I did.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Can't talk into it.
Well, here, I can...
I don't recall.
I don't believe any bill is out of committee yet. The update I received was that they hope to be out by the end of the week, and whether any survive the committee is to be determined.
2585. There's my letter to one Senate. One senator I sent an email to, among others.
Is that the one?
Oh, this is the removing it from the tax cap.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Senate bills are to come out of committee this Friday.
Okay.
So they're still in committee.
Okay. No idea when the status is, what the status is, or is that just something?
I don't. Okay. I mean, right now they're taking testimony from people that want to testify. They're accepting letters and phone calls.
Good.
From folks.
I'll make some tomorrow.
And so yes, I mean, I would encourage all of you to call our senator on this.
Senators.
Well, we got really far that you might want to consider it, because not just Hultgren, who's trying to become going to Congress, but he's looking for our votes in Kane County. And so we have some influence with him, as well as Mr. Brady, who's hoping to become governor. He's a senator on this same committee, I believe. And then the other two, Lousen and somebody else. I can't think of their name.
John Milner from up north.
Yeah. Well, the ones where we have influence vote-wise are the ones that listen the loudest.
Right. Just Lousen and Hultgren.
Yeah. Right. Right. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Alderman Flanagan.
Is Alderman Singer wanting to discuss that?
Is it on this issue, Mr.
No.
Singer? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Flanagan, Brown, then Singer.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to hype the pasta for Posies. It's this Wednesday, March 3rd. Doors open at 5 o'clock. All you can eat... spaghetti. There's a whole bunch of other things going on. We'll have little raffles, etc. Mary Stavenhagen is going to be answering any of your gardening questions. We do have carry out. I know that sounds kind of bizarre because we have an all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper, but there is carry out being available. You can still purchase tickets at Farmers Insurance at 316 West State, Geneva Chamber of Commerce, Geneva History Center, Graham's 318, the Olive Mill, and Sentimental Gardens. Or else you can call Mary Kay Brown, since she's now in town. And her number is 630-232-7255. Tickets are still $10 for adults, $5 for children, 10 and under. And we hope to see everybody there to help support our flowers for this coming year. We really need your support, so come on out. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did give a rather flippant answer about the trip, but I had the privilege of visiting both Taipei and Shanghai, and I must admit, they blew me away. They're young, vibrant, dynamic towns. The infrastructure was impressive, extremely impressive, and they're working 24/7 on it. Everywhere you look, there are people working on infrastructure. The subway systems are clean and fast and incredible, and the bus systems are just so easy to use. Their streets are in great shape. They have more skyscrapers per block than Chicago has skyscrapers, both towns. And I just got the impression that there's a tremendous amount of money and effort going into infrastructure, and here we are debating in this town, in Illinois and in the United States, debating pensions and debating, it just, there's something completely out of whack. You know, I think I have just seen 10% growth. It's impressive to see. It's just everywhere. Everything is going. It's exciting. Everyone is young. And I just get the impression that we're falling apart. I went to the airport in Shanghai today at 273 miles per hour on a maglev train. I've tried to take the subway from Chicago to O'Hare. It's impossible. It almost does not get there. It takes over an hour from downtown to get to O'Hare. From the contrast for people coming to this country must be just incredible. The contrast between their new, shiny, sparkling systems that are whizzing along so fast you can, takes your breath away to our systems, which are 100-year-old clunkers. There's something completely wrong with what we're doing, and I think we have to think about in our town. Our infrastructure's in pretty good shape, but I have still seen over the many years I was in the council, the amount of money we're putting into infrastructure is decreasing each year. We used to be putting $2 to $3 to $4 million into our infrastructure each year. We're not doing that anymore. We're facing the same problems. Our money are going to non-productive things, and I don't know how to turn it around. I don't know how to explain it, but I just get a feeling that I've seen the future. As I was whizzing to the airport on this maglev, I was just thinking, why does this train system exist in China and not in the United States? It should exist here. We should be able to do that, and we don't. So I think the point that Alderman Hill made, the point that we're getting emails about the problems with the budgets, we have our own problems, we have the budgets at the state level, we know the federal government is bankrupt. There's just, somehow this has got to turn around, and I think it's got to be the youth. I get a sense of youthful vigor in both Taipei and Shanghai, which somehow we've got to rejuvenate, and I'm the guy who should be getting out of the way, I guess. I'm not young anymore. But anyway, it was very impressive. Those towns are very impressive to see, and I think it gives you a different perspective on what 10% growth looks like. It's just everywhere. It's everything. It's just amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. And so that those at home watching don't think that Alderman Brown attended on behalf of the city of Geneva.
I was there for work, Mr. Mayor.
And did you deliver an address of any kind? Or
I gave a talk in Taipei. I visited Shanghai on the way home just as a visitor.
And the nature of the talk, because I'm sure this is fascinating, but the nature of the talk was?
I was at a physics convention.
A physics convention. That's a front page story there, Frank.
Don't go any further.
All right, don't go any further. That's all I need to know. It's a physics convention. Do you guys go out and party at night at a physics convention? Or?
We did have a banquet, which is very impressive.
That's good.
A fusion banquet.
Yes. The Cold Fusion Awards. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've made some inquiries, and I understand that a number of older people were called, I believe it was Friday evening, by a reporter from the Daily Herald, and I wasn't able to respond to her call, but the question was in regards to Geneva possibly increasing its number of council members. And Kay Hatcher, one of our representatives here in the community, is sponsoring legislation, and I'm not able to find that particular documentation. Do any of you know just what that bill is and what the number is as such?
It's appropriate to defer to our city administrator, Ms. McKittrick, who, for all practical purposes, helped draft that legislation. So I think we can turn it over to Mary. She wants to go from 10 to 43 council members.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
As long as she can select them.
The current statute is basically impossible to comply with. I spoke with the, first of all, the state statute requires that after a decennial census, when we receive our official population figures, if we are advised, notified that we have reached an official population of 20,000, then we are required by statute to automatically increase the council size to 14. Now, if the council chooses to stay at the current number of 10, and correspondingly it would be 7 wards as opposed to 5 wards, but if the council chooses to stay at the number that we have right now, you can do that. But there's a time frame in there. And what the statute says is that I
believe it's 180 days before the next election, but after we receive the official census numbers, that the council would need to vote to stay at the current number. So if you work that out mathematically, we would need to vote on this probably in October or so, November, but we won't receive the numbers until between December and March.
Mm-hmm.
So it's impossible to comply with state statute. So I proposed and asked Representative Hatcher if she would sponsor this bill to allow municipalities to make the decision within 1 year after they receive the official decennial census numbers, which means that we will receive them, according to the Census Bureau, between December and March, and within 1 year of that time, then the council would need to make a decision whether or not they want to stay at 10 or go to 14, and then if they choose to go to 14, then we would need to go through redistricting,
mm-hmm.
and adding two more wards and extending the dais on both ends by two seats and so on and so forth.
And an additional $144,000 a year to pay the salaries of these additional older people.
That would need to be voted on as well.
Okay. Now, if we decide to stay at the 10, would there still be a need for redistricting, or would that be part of the parcel?
It could be. If wards are out of balance,
yeah.
so to speak, because the idea is to have the as close of numbers as possible,
right.
in all of the wards. So, for example, if you have say a lot of growth on the west side of town, and perhaps it's more dense in a certain area than others, we would have to look at those numbers. So yes, we could end up redistricting the wards themselves in order to distribute the number of residences equally, or as equally as possible.
So I suspect the manner in which that would be done is the number of the population we would presently have at that point in time divided by 10 would determine the population for each ward. How is that?
By 7.
Or by 10 taller people.
Okay. 5 wards.
Mr. Mayor, that's right, 5.
In my tenure as city attorney, we've had redistricting a couple times, the last of which was after the 2000 census count. My remark would be that the corporate boundaries of Geneva did not expand greatly after 2000, just a few spots. So probably the distribution of population is going to be fairly close to what it is currently. But we looked at it in 1990 as well as 2000, and I think there was redistricting in both instances.
At that point in time, who had the responsibility to make that decision? Is this redistricting, making the change?
City Council. Well, you're really mandated by law to do it,
yeah.
So that you have the one man, one vote,
right.
Concept.
Okay.
In both cases, Mr. Page made the initial proposal. The City Council approved it, but in 2000, I think Mr. Page made a determined effort to try to set boundaries that would not change at city build-out, which we're looking to. So I agree with Alderman Radovich. There's a good chance the boundaries won't change this time.
You just demoted him, huh?
I'm sorry, Attorney Radovich.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. That's such an insult. I should never.
Demoted?
It's jet lag.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just add one thing. We did a special census in 2004.
Right.
And at that time, our numbers came back, changing the population from 19,515 to 21,901.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, The state did recognize those numbers relative to the per capita distributive funds,
right.
But they did not recognize those numbers with regard to our population.
Okay.
The Secretary of State would not issue a certification that was our official population number. Since that time, the law has changed.
I see.
And they now, based on special census data, will recognize that, for example, home rule.
Yeah.
And you recall that Batavia went through that when they went through a special census, and at the time, the Secretary of State's office would not recognize those special census figures regarding population. The law has been changed, and now they do. So we do know that we're over 22,000 just based on the 2004 special census.
Very good. Well, thank you for that explanation.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Mr. Hill.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I have a question, Ray, on that delaying the decision by the council to go to from 10 to 14 or whatever to 1 year. Would that not interfere with the ability of those people who were candidates for the aldermanic positions to file their petitions on time for the election year of 2011?
11.
Filing is at 11.
It would not be applicable to that consolidated election.
Ah.
And that's the reasoning that they're saying 1 year, within
okay.
1 year after the official numbers are provided to the municipalities, the decision needs to be made for the following election.
Oh, okay. So that would be for 2013.
Yes. That was exactly the problem, is that there was not enough time to get everything done for the next consolidated election. So they said, all right, get the numbers within 1 year of that time, make the decision, and then it is applicable to the following consolidated election.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Anyone else? New business comments? Tonight, the girls' basketball team kicks off. They actually have tipped off. They play Hersey High School in beautiful Streamwood, Illinois. And if they win tonight, they will be heading downstate for the state championship. So that is exciting. So
go Viking Nets.
Indeed.
Nets?
Yes.
If there's nothing else, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Motion by Singer. The enthusiasm in Mark should not be even recognized. Who over here?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Dantino. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Good night, everyone.